Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Let me give our contact information, and then we'll go right to the callers. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, if you're writing me. On the web, it's equip.org, and via the phone, you can talk to resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And please remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, I simply can't do what we do. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone lines. Ann, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Hank. We had this discussion in Sunday school about Christians that sin, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know Jesus' blood covers my sins. I also know we're supposed to ask for forgiveness for our sins. But what happens if I miss something, a sin? You know, how are we judged in heaven? I mean, somehow or another, I've got myself confused. And I've been thinking about this and praying about it, and I've got myself confused.
Well, I think what's important to recognize is that as a believer, you have been forgiven all of your sins. Having said that, you're also wise and correct in recognizing that even as a forgiven believer, you need to continue asking for forgiveness, because this is precisely what the Bible tells us to do. And I just turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, which says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So we should daily confess our sins, and that is because we want to enhance our communion with God, and unconfessed sin is a barrier between us and a holy God.
Hold on 1 second. When you say communion, are you saying by communicating with God and feeling close to God?
Yes, yes, yes. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about relationship. But this does not mean that God is sitting there on the throne saying, you know, Ann, I think you missed one, and until you get that one and remember that one and confess that one specifically, our communion, our relationship is hampered in some way. No, of course not. You know, God is always looking at the intent of our heart. If you are confessing your sin, it means that you daily recognize, you know, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I blew it. Maybe there's some specific sin that you want to confess that's on your heart, but in general, you recognize that you have all kinds of sins of both omission and commission. Sins of omission are those things that you omit to do that you should have done, maybe someone that you could have helped that you failed to help. There are also sins of commission. This is committing an act that you should not have committed, and you should confess those sins. But can you remember all of your sins? I'll tell you what, I can't remember all my sins. So I confess my sin daily, and I ask the Lord to forgive me, to cleanse me from unrighteousness, but also to continue to sanctify me, to purify me, to allow me to partake of those means of grace through which I can grow in knowledge and closeness to God.
Yes, you know, and that's what I pray, you know. But, you know, because a lot of times I pray God forgive me my sins and for things I should have done and didn't do. And, you know, I help my heart. You know, I want him to change my heart, to
yes.
be more loving, more considerate, to be more conscious of what I do.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, I mean, you know, Ann, you're a very clear communicator, and your thought process is very biblically oriented as well. Exactly what you say is true.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. So when we get to heaven, we're not going to be judged by our sins.
Well, no, this is what Paul says. You can't lay another foundation other than Jesus Christ. So there's a separation, and between sheep and goats. Sheep are those who follow the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Goats are those who, in the metaphor, don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ. So there's a separation of those who belong to the kingdom of light and those who belong to the kingdom of darkness. But then Paul says that while you couldn't work for your salvation, you can work from your salvation. And you can either build on the foundation of Jesus Christ using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And so if you use precious stones, your works will endure. If you do not, the day of the Lord will reveal them for what they were. But it doesn't mean you're not going to be saved, Paul says. It means you're going to be saved as though you're a person escaping a burning building with little clothes upon your back. And this is one of the reasons that Jesus oftentimes talked about rewards in eternity. And that's a message that isn't preached often in our contemporary culture, but it is certainly something that Jesus and his companions underscored over and over again in the biblical text.
Okay. And these rewards, I mean, I've heard people say, you know, rewards in heaven, that wouldn't be fair because, you know, we're all going to be happy and this is going to be a wonderful place. So if some have rewards more than what the other person has. See what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah, but they're thinking about things from an earthly perspective rather than from a heavenly perspective. Now we see things through a dark glass. We see things through the perspective of a sin-corroded nature. Then we're going to see things as they really are. We're not going to be selfish in heaven, but selfless. And that means you're going to be able to appreciate the station and the gifts that God gives to another person without even a modicum of jealousy. And these are the very kinds of things that we want to start working towards right now, which is to say, you know, let's say as a Christian leader, I'm at a conference. I don't want to try to be the person that's the star. I want to be the person that's urging someone else on, strengthening and encouraging them so that the Holy Spirit works through them powerfully. Because we want to become more and more like Christ. We want to diminish. We want Christ exalted. And we want to appreciate the gifts God's given to other people. We can't do it fully here. Perfectly here, but we will be able to do it perfectly there.
Well, let me ask you one more thing.
Okay.
You know, because I've had these questions in my mind. Do you think it's the devil making me doubt myself?
No, you're thinking, you know, and I think that's good. I think, as has been well said, the unexamined life is not worth living. I mean, I think it's really good that you're thinking about these things. But remember that ultimately, those questions that you have a final court of arbitration. It's the Word of God. You test all things in light of Scripture. Hold fast to the good. Therefore, I would encourage you even to test what I just told you in light of Scripture.
Right.
Say, is that really what the Bible says? Because ultimately, I'm not your authority. The Bible is.
Yeah, I know. I may be taking the lazy way out.
No, it's fine. I'm glad you called me. I'm glad you asked the questions. That's why we do what we do.
Yeah. And listen, if you could transfer me, I'd like to make a donation.
Thank you, Ann. Bless you, dear. I appreciate you calling today.
And thank you.
You've made my day. Hang on. Someone will pick you up. And wow, people have questions. And that's why we do what we do. It's not to demonstrate mental acumen. It's to use a well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity, not only so that people can come to know Jesus Christ, but so that people can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and themselves become reproducing disciple makers. It's no accident that people ask questions, get answers, and then, lo and behold, in the next day or week or month, someone asks them the same question, now they have an answer. And now God can use them in turn. And that's the whole goal, to become a reproducing disciple maker. If we were reproducing disciple makers like the first century Christians, we could turn our empire upside down. The problem really isn't pagans. They're doing their job description. The problem is Christians oftentimes are hiding their light under a bushel instead of putting on a stand so it gives light to everyone. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial. In the meantime, be like Anne. Support this ministry. We can't do it without you.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults on sanity have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, you know nothing less than civilization is at stake when ideology trumps reality, or when psychology trumps biology. That's wokeism in a nutshell. The threat is not only critical, it's urgent, which is why Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. You won't want to miss the upcoming special issue of the Christian Research Journal that contains everything you need to know about the cult of wokeism and its impact on Western civilization. You'll read sobering articles with penetrating analysis of the social and mental disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of the special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandemensia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our callers. Talk next to David in Antioch, California. Hi, David.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Good talking to you.
All right, good talking to you. As for the topic you've addressed, I'm sure you have before, but I'm a new listener.
Okay.
So I'm interested to get some information on this. It's about divine healing.
Yeah.
In the church, you know, one of the two things we always talk about with Christ is, number one, it's either going to be his teaching or about the great miracles. And we believe that he gave this power to the disciples to heal, as we see in Scripture, but why don't we see that today? I mean, should we expect divine healing in today's time, or should we not expect it? And if so, why don't we see it so often? Why don't we see it at all today?
Yeah, well, I think what's important is to recognize that Jesus Christ is in a category of one, and the disciples are in a very unique category as well. They were those who testified to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were eyewitnesses or associates of eyewitnesses to his resurrection. And therefore, in a unique category, they became the very foundation of the Christian church. So the foundation of our faith is laid on the basis, as Scripture makes plain, on the basis of the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament, and then the text tells us that Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone. So they were validated by their miracles, just as Jesus was validated by his miracles. He was demonstrating that he had supernatural authority. Now, that is why we now point to the Bible. We say, look, God validated Jesus Christ. God validated the apostles and prophets in supernatural ways, so we know that these are servants or mouthpieces of God. Now, that isn't something that would be normative in our time. The normative thing, or the normal thing, is that we all get sick and eventually we all die. Is it possible for God to heal today? Of course it is. Is it the normal thing? No, the normal, natural thing is that we all get sick and eventually we all die. I mean, the aging process itself is testimony to that. I don't have the flexibility I used to have. My eyesight is not as good. I'm wearing glasses these days. And so you recognize immediately the mortal know that they will die. So we don't look for perfect health or divine healing in this life. We certainly are privileged to pray for it. And sometime God, for his own purposes, answers those prayers. But the normal circumstances that we die of our last disease, then the death rate is one per person, and all of us are going to succumb to it.
All right. You are the man. Thank you. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Hank.
You got it, David. Written about this in my book, Christianity in Crisis in particular, but also Counterfeit Revival. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tina. She's listening in Arkansas. Hi, Tina.
Hi, I had a question about certain churches that preach like kind of like social gospel, but really never give the way of salvation. For example, my husband was raised in a Presbyterian church, and he said that they never have altar calls. They never even said at the end of the service, you know, if there's anyone that's interested in becoming a Christian or giving your life to Jesus, you know, there's counselors available for you. They preach about the Bible, they preach about doing good things, but is there a higher accountability for those pastors that have shepherded a flock for 30 years? I know the Bible talks about not many of you should be pastors and teachers because they are held to a higher standard. So I'm just wondering if they're, you know, I have friends from that were raised in the Catholic Church and are now born-again Christians. Most of them have become Christians through, like, a Bible study or a friend invites them or, you know, just shares Christ with them. But they said that they were raised in the church, and it was never preached that you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you actually have to say the sinner's prayer. You know, I've had a lot of people say.
Yeah, I think what's really important, Tina, is to recognize, yes, with, as you've correctly pointed out, with teaching, there's a stricter judgment. I think it's also important to recognize that we are accountable as teachers to communicate the truth to men, women, and children, and that is we are sinners. We must repent of our sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life, and not only become a convert, but we're ultimately called to be disciples, learners or followers of Jesus Christ. So we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. We're set apart through baptism to be living stones in the temple of God. Again, written about this in many places, including the book I just alluded to, Afterlife. Back to the phone lines. Jamie in Texas. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Hank. I recently moved to the United States, and you're the first person that I'm asking this question to that I trust enough to ask the question to. My mom belongs to the Jehovah's Witness Church. She joined the church a couple of years ago. I heard you say that it's a cult-type church. I don't know much about the church, so I'm just trying to get some input from you in terms of what your opinion is of the church.
Yeah, well, you know, when I talk about a cult in this sense, talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm talking about cult first and foremost from a theological perspective in that they compromise, confuse, or outright contradict essential Christian doctrine, beginning with the deity of Jesus Christ. They say that Jesus Christ was created as the archangel Michael. During his earthly sojourn, he was merely human. And then after he was recreated, after his death, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. They also deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, going so far as to say that his body is preserved as a grand memorial to God's grace. But they're also cultic from a sociological perspective, and as such, they have been involved in all kinds of very dangerous aberrations, including forbidding blood transfusions to their devotees. So yeah, they are cultic for a lot of reasons, both theologically and sociologically. And I've written about this in various places. I mean, if you go to the web at equip.org, you can see a lot of entries on the Jehovah's Witnesses and why we say they're cultic from both perspectives. Also, the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, in which I talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses, where you can get the distilled essence very quickly.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense to me now. I just have one last question. I'm sorry, Hank.
Sure, that's fine.
I'm going to ask this, and he's actually gone off to a prayer meeting this evening. He asked me to ask you, why does it say in Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image? He says, if God is Father, Son, and Spirit, 3 in 1, why specifically our?
Yeah.
In that paragraph.
Yeah, well, there are a number of different ways of looking at that. Some say that this is a plural of majesty, and that's in concert with ancient Near Eastern usage. But there are others that say, no, this is a hint at the fact that God is one and is yet three. So in biblical theology, what we say is there's only one God, but when we talk about the oneness of God, we're talking about the nature of God. When we talk about the three persons within the Godhead, we're talking about personal self-distinctions within the Godhead, such that the Father loves the Son, the Father sends the Spirit, the Son prays to the Father, etc. So the idea here is in biblical theology that there's one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses think that this is a freakish-looking caricature of God. We say, no, this is exactly how God is defined in Scripture. On the one hand, the Bible consistently says there's only one God. On the other hand, the Bible says that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Now, I can't fully comprehend that, but I certainly apprehend it in the Scriptures. Jesus is clearly delineated as God in the Scripture. Not only that, but the Father is clearly God, as far as the Scriptures are concerned, and the Holy Spirit is a personal being within the Godhead as well. So this is three in person, one in nature. If I said there was one God and three gods, I'd be contradicting myself. But the Trinity doesn't say that. It says one by nature, three in person. And while we, again, can't fully comprehend that, we can apprehend that in the pages of Scripture. And by the way, the Scripture also is clear that these three persons within the Godhead are eternally distinct. So again, to just summarize that quickly, what Trinitarian theology says, contra to what the Jehovah's Witnesses say, we say, is that there's one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. And that's precisely what the Bible teaches.
Okay, that makes so much sense. I'll explain it to you. Because you and I often disagree on certain things. I believe, you know, for me, my faith has always been childlike. I just believe what the Bible says. But he, at the age of 17, he's starting to question a lot more,
yeah.
You know. So yeah, it's a good thing. And thank you so much. That makes so much sense. I'll convey your answer to him.
Well, bless you, Jamie. Thank you so much for your call. And again, I've written about this, not only the Trinity, but also the questions you asked about the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.